everybody. Kev O'Donoghue and Ben Starr, back with you with The Positive Mind. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And we are excited today. We have Anne Black, PhD, in our studio today. Anne is a psychotherapist, PhD in community psychology and Thanatos psychology. Is that Thanatos?
Thanatology.
Thanatology. We're going to get into that. And she has an interesting connection going in her hometown of Brattleboro, mm-hmm. Vermont, mm-hmm. And a mission here, a mission of healing, a mission to help people in a special population. We've done shows before. We had Sebastian Junger on last year talking about his book Tribe, and we've had Ben Starr in the studio talking to veterans on Veterans Day about a year ago. Well, Anne has a project or connection that treats veterans in a 6-day workshop of healing, and she's going to talk to us about that. Anne Black, welcome to WBAI.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Nice to have you.
Thank you.
What is thanatology?
Thanatology is the study of death, dying, and grieving, and it stems from the Greek word thanos, which means death.
And you've done work in psychology in this field?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I've been working in that field for about 30 years. It's taken a lot of twists and turns. Actually, it kind of goes back to the loss of a puppy that I had when I was 5. And my parents kind of freaked out and found me sitting on a porch with a dead puppy that had been hit by a car and did not know how to talk to me about the feelings. And all they said was, you know, I'm glad while I was out I got you a new dress. And I'm thinking, what does a new dress have to do with my feelings? Because I realized I had blood all over my pinafore. Mm. But I think that was kind of the beginning that really helped me realize that many people are not comfortable with feelings. And so I went into education and had a loss of a child in my classroom. And then I realized that was a real important piece. So I began with a nonprofit in Vermont, which is called the Center for Creative Healing. And we started the HEALS program, which was going into the schools to do death crisis intervention and bereavement support. And so that was I did that for about 15 years. And then I got a PhD in community psychology and thanatology because I just really wanted to learn more.
And so it sounds like these early life experiences really informed all of this work that you do.
Absolutely.
That these were experiences that stuck with you, the loss of the puppy, the loss of the child in your classroom, and I mean, I can relate. I think I never had a full appreciation mm-hmm. of life mm-hmm. until I experienced death that was close to me.
Exactly.
And I think many people have gone through that.
Right. And the message that I got early on is people aren't comfortable with feelings. They don't know how to talk about feelings. They don't know how to help children understand their feelings, which are really a very natural part of loss.
Most definitely. And that's a lot of the work that we do here on The Positive Mind is we want people to identify their feelings, to feel their feelings, and to get that comfort
exactly.
with going to that place of vulnerability.
Right.
It's a challenge.
And there is a very fancy term called alexithymia.
Alexithymia.
Yes, yeah. Which actually means not being able to get in touch or identify what the nuances are of our feelings. And we are a very intellectual society, and a lot goes into our minds, but there's a whole language to the heart and the feelings and the emotions. So that's what I love to do with kids. So when I developed the HEALS program and somebody asked me to take that into a hospital population with the underserved, I'm thinking, well, what are you talking about? And someone said, well, what about the VA hospitals with veterans and their losses and PTSD? And I was kind of blown away. I just was like a deer, you know, caught in the headlights. And it's like, I don't know anything about that population mm-hmm. because I come out of a conscientious objector population, and my ancestors came from Switzerland, and, you know, I mean, in the early 1700s, and, you know, we have always been, you know, they've done alternate service instead of actually going into the military. So I kept asking myself, why me? Why would I even do this? But the more I got into it, what I realized is that I care about the human soul, and I care about the soul of the veteran. And I many times will view their soul like this shiny diamond that just gets covered over. But the diamond is underneath, and it's just gotten covered over with a lot of the experiences and the unresolved pain and loss that they've been
I want through. To point something out that's very interesting, is that you come out of a pacifist, conscientious objector family, and BAI is part of the Pacifica family of networks, and we are firmly anti-war. And when we've talked about veterans in the past, we've gotten some feedback. We've gotten a lot of great feedback, but we've gotten some feedback from people who asked us, you know, if we were somehow glorifying war or militarism, and that's just not the case. You know, we do this work because this is a population, you know, that is comprised of disproportionately working class immigrants, women, and people of color across the board are disproportionately, you know, involved in the military. The struggles that come out of it are very real. As always, we want to do work to identify trauma and help people. We're committed to being firmly anti-war and pacifistic, and it does not mean that we can't also do this work.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think is really important here to share is that during these six-day residential retreats that we offer, there is absolutely no conversation about politics, about religion. This is really truly about, and even no war stories. Sometimes they will offer a little bit of a story, but what we're really going for and what we really care most about is what were they feeling. When they are in combat and horrific things happen, they do not have the luxury to stop and process what's going on. So I often have like an image, and this is just my image, that there's like a big zipper that goes down the front, and so something unbelievable happens and they shove it in and zip it back up and carry on. So all of that that's stuffed inside just kind of finds a way to bury itself in the tissues and the cells of the human organism. And so when they leave and they return to the United States, you know, the body knows how to heal itself. You get a scratch, it knows how to heal itself. The body also knows how to heal itself emotionally. So once they return, a part of them says, you know, I'm safe now. You know, the threats have, you know, stopped. And so the body starts offering up these experiences or unexpressed feelings by way of flashbacks, by way of intrusive thoughts, nightmares. So the body is attempting to heal itself, but it's scary. It's like really, really scary. So they end up going to the VA, and there's a place for medication, but they just automatically are medicated, and that stuff stays inside. So what the retreats are about, and the VA does wonderful things too, don't get me wrong. But we are here as an adjunct to help and assist, because there's a very overburdened system right now.
Fantastic. What I'm excited about is you talking us through the process of how you help these veterans start to feel again.
Yes.
I'm sure you run into alexithymia quite often in your workshops. By the way, we're talking with Anne Black, PhD, director and founder of the Warrior Connection, thewarriorconnection.org, where she does six-day retreats with veterans at a very reduced price. I mean, you provide housing, and you want to say something about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, we really feel very strongly that our veterans have served. They have made extraordinary sacrifices. So From the beginning, we have offered these six-day residential retreats. That's the food, the lodging, the facilitation, all materials, at no charge to the veteran. We do ask for a $150 commitment fee just so that they're making a commitment to show up. And they're responsible. We've had them come from 25 different states now, and they are responsible for transportation, and we have also found some nonprofit organizations that have been willing to help with
Right here at the Positive Mind Center, we have a nonprofit wing called the Foundation for Positive Psychology, and dealing with veterans and helping veterans struggling with PTSD is one of our missions. So we would contribute transportation to the Warrior Connection site for veterans to do this type of work.
Tell us about post-traumatic stress disorder, about the symptoms, how it manifests itself, how people deal with it. Just walk us through that.
Okay. It's described to me that imagine yourself going into a movie theater and you're just watching a very, very violent movie. And at the end of 2 hours, you walk out and into the light of day or into a dark evening, and all of a sudden you go, oh, that was just a movie. Well, when somebody is in a combat zone for a year, it just does not let up. So one is constantly on hyper alert because fear is just a piece of this. So what it ends up doing to be in that hyper alert state of being is it actually begins changing the chemistry in the brain. It affects the amygdala. It just affects the wiring. And so it's really very challenging to relax and calm because you're concerned about threats. So even after leaving a combat zone, that hard wiring is still there. And what we do realize is that with a lot of the research that's been done now is that the brain is plastic and it can change. And so new neural pathways can be formed, which is why the practice of mindfulness is very valuable, because it's using the prefrontal cortex and it's allowing the person to begin to slow down, which is one of the modalities that we use during the retreats as well.
Slowing down. Slowing down to feel, amongst other things.
And retraining.
Retraining.
The neurology.
Okay, so 6 days, is that enough?
Well, actually, a dear psychiatrist friend of mine who was at Fort Dix said, honestly, Ann, I think you need 10 days. And for me, 6 days is pushing the envelope to sustain being in that powerful energy and doing this kind of work. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, you know, we have post-retreat follow-up and those types of things, because what I experience happening are these beautiful beings making a 17-inch drop from their heads down into their hearts.
Fantastic.
And once they are in their hearts, it takes ongoing practice for all of us to live and move and have our being from this deeper place. And at the very end, there's a telling of the new story. It's just quite extraordinary to listen to these very powerful beings find that soft, tender place in their hearts and speak from there.
The difficulty and the challenge of living in the heart is the fear that so many of us have.
Yes.
Regardless of our background, is that there's what's in the heart can be scary. What resides there can be dark, can be a challenge, can be intimidating. When we go to that place and we really feel what's inside.
And that's the key. to really truly feel. Because many times it doesn't take long. It's just feeling those darker feelings, those scarier feelings intensely, and to keep dropping beneath, underneath. Because as we go deeper, we move into the expansive feelings of love, joy, peace.
Because everybody has demons, right? And to really confront that is truly an act of courage.
Absolutely.
And even for people who have confronted grave physical threats, it's still intimidating to confront the inner demons.
Yes, which is why I many times view this as needing to be a spiritual warrior. They know how to have that determination and that drive in the battlefield and out there. But now it's taking those same skills and bringing them, you know, inside.
So a lot of the people that you work with, their post-traumatic stress disorder did result from combat-related incidents. But you also work with another segment of veteran population, which is, I think, often overlooked and something I'd like to ask you about, which is survivors of sexual trauma.
Yes.
And I'd like to hear a little bit about that, about the work that you do and your view on the situation.
Yes. And I also want to begin by stating that military sexual trauma does not just happen to women. It also happens to men in the military. So just to clarify that. And it's a segment of our veterans that is sadly, you know, more typical and happening than we want to admit. And it's really imperative that these women find themselves in a really safe place, because the armor and the protection is there around them. And so, and those are the two ingredients, trust and safety.
Right. And without that, it's very difficult to get to a place of vulnerability,
exactly,
which is where the work happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in order to set that up also, we have a code of conduct everybody agrees to before they come, that code of conduct both for the men's retreats and the women's retreats. We also do retreats for the spouses, because many times they have vicarious or secondary PTSD just by virtue of living in that environment.
How does that work? To have a vicarious experience of post-traumatic stress?
Well, if you're living with somebody who really gets easily triggered by a lot of things that happen in life, it starts putting you on alert also. You absorb it. You pick it up. The children will pick it up.
And so they'll have intrusive thoughts or nightmares,
not that, but it's more just
they'll be hypervigilant.
Yes, it's like walking on eggshells,
right,
or if I say this, or you know, really just not being able to relax and be spontaneous.
It makes sense. It's kind of contagious when you're next to somebody whose system is so wired and hyper alert that you're going to catch some of that.
Yeah.
And if you're lying down next to someone like that night after night, it makes sense that you're going to pick up that energy.
Right.
And you're going to have some brain chemistry changes.
That's right.
Possibly.
And then, of course, for the spouse retreats, it's really about they're thinking about everybody else but not themselves. So it's really about a lot of self-care.
Terrific opportunity.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Our guest today, Dr. Anne Black, who's here talking about the work that she does with post-traumatic stress disorder as well as sexual trauma, specifically geared towards veterans who have experienced this in the military. And here in New York City, there are hundreds of thousands of veterans. We've gotten feedback from a lot of you when we've done shows in the past discussing trauma and PTSD. And again, you know, WBAI is part of the Pacifica family of networks, and we are firmly anti-war. We are firmly pacifist in nature, and that does not mean that we cannot address important issues like this when they arise. Because at the end of the day, you know, veterans, they are our family members, our friends, our neighbors, people in our community who really need help on many fronts. And I think it's great that you're providing this help.
Yeah, and the other thing I really would like to say right on that note is I think one of the pieces that is so needed is these bridges from the veterans back into the community, which is the other reason I really like this model that we've developed, because during the retreats, we have two facilitators, generally. One is I'll talk about the men's, the male combat veteran facilitator, and he's paired with a female civilian clinician. So it's like mother, father, masculine, feminine. And it just really is a real beautiful way for veterans to begin to trust a civilian, you know, to really let down the walls, to say what's true, to share their feelings, some of their experiences. And I know many of them have said in that first day they have shared, and this would be a Vietnam veteran, they have shared more in one day than they did in three marriages and 35 years.
Wow.
So, and that to me is, we're doing a good job here, you know, because there is so much that's stored inside. So I think, you know, also at night we have community people who come in and cook dinner for us. Oh, and there's an organic farm that provides all of the produce, whatever they grow, our cooks can go and get. So there is this community, you know, we hear support our troops, but they will many times leave in tears because they're so touched by the vulnerability of these people. We stand in a big circle and have a little grace before we eat, and each veteran will introduce themselves where and when they served and say a little something about, you know, how they're doing, and they're just really touched.
An ingenious way to bring it all together. I mean, was it intuitive view to have a woman clinician as part of this?
Because I had to be there.
Oh, are you the one? There you go.
I'm the one.
Oh, okay. Sometimes directors like to be in the background.
Well, eventually, for right now, I've been blessed by some others who've been coming forward.
You talk about the process of reentering society.
Yes.
Reconnecting with civilian life. We had Sebastian Younger on. A little bit less than a year ago. And I'm wondering what you think of his theory, which is that PTSD, and I'm sure you've read the book, but his theory, for those of you who missed the show, is that post-traumatic stress is not necessarily caused by the experience that a soldier might have on a deployment, but rather the difficulty of re-entry into civilian society.
Yes.
And the fact that our society does not run necessarily in a very healthy way that's conducive to the human condition, to, you know, exploring emotions and to being vulnerable. What do you think about that?
I would absolutely agree. And I think one of the things that is also that came out of his book, which is spot on, is that when these soldiers and airmen and Marines and seamen are together, they form a very, very, very close, tight connection with each other. And they are willing to lay down their lives for each other. There is like nothing like it. So you're in that heightened place with people who you're walking into the unknown with. And so then when they come back, they're dispersed into their communities and they lack that.
Those bonds are not as tight.
Exactly. Even wives, family, you know, it's just a different kind of connection, which is why I really like our name of the Warrior Connection, because it is bringing them back together with their brothers or sisters in the women's retreat. And instead of being on that external, you know, journey, now it's an internal journey, and very similar, those same connections happen because they are going into the unknown once again with a group of people who know have their back. And I will add, in May of 2013, each of the groups that goes through, they pick a name for their group. And in May of 2013, the name chosen by the group was No Soul Left Behind.
Beautiful.
So this is truly what it's about. They are there for each other, making sure that they're each able to reconnect with the truth of who they are.
And they
are.
Must find a new language through this whole journey. that they don't learn just by being together as troopers out on the field, but here coming to this, getting in touch with their heart and learning how to talk. I mean, do you see that they come away with a common language that they can interact with and feel comfortable with?
Some do. Some do. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, being with the comrades, I mean, I honestly have never laughed harder in my entire life. I mean, this is a very, their sense of humor is just phenomenal. And that's also one of the resources, I think, that really helped them navigate through that experience.
So what I'm taking from a lot of what you're saying is that a huge part of the effectiveness of what you do is you're bringing people together who can relate, and there's mm-hmm. a great degree of empathy and compassion because everyone understands where everyone else is coming from.
Yes.
And I can't help but think that...
And it doesn't matter if they were in different conflicts. So you can have a Vietnam veteran mm-hmm. with an Iraq or a...
So people who tune into our Veterans Day show 2 years ago, we actually had a Vietnam and Iraq veteran in the studio together. But what I think is that it sounds like, regardless of your background, regardless of your emotional challenge, it seems like the best way to deal with it is by connecting with other people who can relate and who come from the same experiential background.
Yes.
Whether you're a veteran or not, whatever your challenge is, whether you're dealing with, you know, childhood trauma, sexual trauma, whether you're dealing mm-hmm. with a betrayal or mm-hmm. bereavement, mm-hmm. I think that connecting with other people in a vulnerable and trusting space mm-hmm. who relate and have mm-hmm. the same experience is so effective mm-hmm. and so powerful. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. do you think, Kevin? I know you've run a lot of groups in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's essential that people relate from the heart and find a common way to connect experiences, terrifying as they might be, and find a way to encourage each other to go to those places and feel those things mm-hmm. and bring it out of each other. Mm-hmm. Does the work take on a speed of its own without you at a certain point? Like, you become in the background and
yes.
they just sort of...
Yes. You know, and the other thing I think is really important to add here is I mentioned the modality of using mindfulness.
Yeah.
The other essential critical modality that we use, believe it or not, are the expressive arts. And this was my training and my background with the HEALS work with children. And I just thought, oh my gosh, is this going to really work with combat veterans? But what we found, and this is not masterpiece art at all,
of course.
But what we know is the mind can be very slippery and the body does not lie. So these experiences that are unprocessed, unexpressed, are lodged in the body.
Yeah.
So as we go through each of these stations, and there are 9 of them that we go through, they have an opportunity to get very still and very quiet and really learn to trust the wisdom of their body as they roll the camera back to a certain time in their military journey.
It's an unwinding, I would imagine, with this expressiveness, not having to produce a work of art or anything really stellar or shiny or anything, but just something that
it's a welcoming
comes
up.
From creativity.
It's welcoming up and inviting what really is ready to surface on its own accord. And it's trusting the wisdom, the deep intelligence, and the knowing of the body, because the body does not want to hold all this stuff. And so many times the mind will want to override it. But we really tell them, trust yourself. In the military, you're told what to do, when to do, and how to do it.
Mm.
In the retreat, it's like really listening to yourself, using yourself as a laboratory, using yourself as an opportunity to drop from the head down into the body and trust. Really trust what comes.
I want you to walk us through this process in the second half of the show. But do you run into a lot of resistance with this expressive therapy stuff? I mean,
here
are these big warrior men.
Yep,
all of a sudden they're painting. Or you can tell us later what these expressive arts are, but they're painting or doing something creative. And they might, I'm wondering, are they like saying...
Initially, they're like, really? But no, once they realize the potency and the power of it mm-hmm. and how healing it is and how they all feel kind of the same way about doing it, but what it does is it gives them something to look at and to understand where they've been, what happened. Mm-hmm. And they will speak directly off of whatever the medium is that, you know, that they just created.
We're going to go ahead and take a short musical break coming up on half past the hour. I want to thank you for tuning in. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. Our guest today, Dr. Anne Black. We'll be back after this. John Coltrane here on WBAI. You're listening to The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Our guest today, Dr. Anne Black, who is the founder and director of the Warrior Connection, which is a retreat for veterans in Vermont who are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and military sexual trauma. And you've told us that you felt sort of called to do this work, and it was an interesting calling. Tell me more about that. What is it that has kind of called you into this role?
That's a really good question. It's one I've spent a lot of time with. My sense is I was called to do this because it was to be a female that brought this work into being. And also it has a lot to do with my spiritual orientation. And I said earlier that what I'm really most passionate about with every single human being I meet is really connecting to the soul, to the truth of who that person is. And so when I was approached about, you know, doing this work with veterans, I realized that there was a soul in there that I really wanted to experience and learn more about, and determine if there was a way to reconnect, to help them reconnect with the truth of who they are. And I really believed that there was a good chance, but we had to test it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to, we're going into our eighth season now. And I am seeing the light come back into the eyes of those who have been in a really tough place. And we all know that from everything that's being told, that there are approximately 22 veteran suicides that are committed each day. And it's just because of the emotional turmoil and conflict that they're living in, and the moral injuries that they sustain because they were asked to do things that really went against their moral fiber and what they were taught. You know, thou shalt not kill. So it's a rub, you know, it's like they were trained to do things that went against.
So there's a moral discord there.
Yes.
Right? What did you call it earlier?
Moral injury.
Moral injury. And that can be very painful.
It is.
Yeah. And the soul, I mean, just there's a soul in there. How do you get to this soul? I mean, resistance. I can't help but think there has to be so much resistance. Yeah, they'll show up to this retreat. They'll be committed and want to come forward. But I just imagine their training would get so much in the way of them opening up. How do you do it?
Well, one of the things that I always do when I first start talking with them and when I do the interview, because they each, you know, we do an interview either in person or on phone if they're from far away. And one of the things I invite them to do is I ask them if they were able to roll that camera back to a time in their childhood when they experienced their innocence, their freedom, they felt loved, lovable, and loving. If they're able to tell me they remember that time, I know that there's a better chance that they're going to be able to connect with that part of themselves, rather than if they say to me, I grew up in an alcoholic, abusive family, and I don't remember that. I know it's going to be a harder journey.
I learned to turn my feelings off as a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old.
Even before that.
Even before so you're going to try and ask me to get to my feelings now?
Right, which it's not impossible because, you know, I have witnessed a veteran who was in that situation, who has been so sincere and so committed to finding his emotional freedom that he has like turned over every stone. He's been passionate and he has reconnected with the truth of who he is.
I love you say the word passionate. I mean, I'm sure buried passions must come to fruition or life through this journey, through this process.
And I also think it's the soul's desire. There's a deep desire from a place inside where there's a yearning for something more. And I know that that something more is as close as that person's breath. You know, it's just, it's always there. It's like a radio frequency. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of getting it tuned into
right.
that spot.
Yeah.
But it's there. But part of it is slowing down, and part of it is being able to offload a lot of the residue and the emotions and the experiences that are blocking them.
You call it the warrior connection. Did they stay in touch with you after this journey? Tell us all about connection, because did they stay in touch with each other? Where does the connection go? I love the name Warrior Connection.
Well,
for its ramifications and possibilities.
Right, because there is a real tendency among PTSD veterans, we'll use that because that's our population we're discussing, to isolate.
Yes.
You know, to go off on their own and to be in the woods, to not have to deal with anybody or anything, to reduce their stress level. So in coming together, there is a connection
right.
that is made.
Sure.
And so it's actually connecting them to themselves and then to the group and then ultimately to the process and their right. families and their communities. So it ripples out.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, of course, the first connection has to be with yourself.
Yes.
And you say you get in touch with who I was and who I am. Do they come out transformed and finally have a sense of an I, a sense of who they might be?
It's just like the rest of life. Some do, and some, you know, just get something. They get something out of it. Every single one gets something out of it. But there are those that just kind of, it feels like they're really wanting to roll up their sleeves. You know, there was one veteran who, it was a Vietnam veteran who had been through three marriages and was a professional athlete and, you know, very successful. He just took all his anger and frustration out on the court and so forth. But he realized that he was in a fourth marriage with somebody who he dearly, dearly loved. Yeah. And he said, "I will do whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes." And he approached his retreat with such fervor that he found, he literally, and these were his words, "I saw my soul." Really? I saw my soul.
So when you bring that kind of intention to the work and that readiness to the work, there is that opportunity.
Desire is everything.
Desire is everything.
How large are these groups that you work with?
No more than eight. And then there's a mentor and then the combat veteran facilitator. So, and sometimes a facilitator in training. So at the most, there would be 11 of them.
Okay. And these, you said they come from 25 states?
Yes. And we, you know, some are officers, some are NCOs, some are grunts. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, somebody, one of our facilitators said he wishes we had a plaque above the door that said, "Leave your rank behind." So it has nothing to do with that. It's really about the soul coming forward. All, you know, socioeconomic backgrounds, don't ask, don't tell. I mean, it's just everybody is accepted. All is welcome there. As long as there's a sincere desire to do their inner work, to take off the armor, and that's what the Warrior Connection's all about.
Sounds like pretty diverse groups you have up there. If you're just joining us, you're tuned into The Positive Mind. You're listening to WBAI here in New York City, 99.5 FM. We're talking with Dr. Anne Black. I'm Ben Starr, here with Kevin O'Donohue, and yes, WBAI, the Pacifica family of networks, and we remain committed to that mission of being firmly anti-war. The work that we do when we talk about veterans and post-traumatic stress disorder really has nothing to do with being pro-war, which I think is sometimes a misconception, that there, you know, you can be firmly anti-war, but in favor of supporting people who are dealing with trauma, dealing with issues. It's really just an understanding of the realities in our society and, you know, where pain resides.
And people suffer from PTSD for a variety of reasons. The sure. veterans are the yeah. ones who are enabling us to have a discussion about it and a focus on it.
That's a great point.
So it's really, I mean, the horrors of war do have some gifts. And here it is, men learning how, and women, I suppose, to be vulnerable and get yes. in touch with a self, a soul, a being that even if they hadn't gone to war, they might never have gotten in touch with. So it shines a nice focus on trauma. And with gun laws being the way they are and traumas happening out in the world all the time, unexpectedly, I mean, the discussion about trauma and this gift of veterans opening up about it is really enabling the general public to have a language and an awareness and understanding of, mental and spiritual difficulties that otherwise we wouldn't be able to access and talk about.
Absolutely, Kevin. We did that brief series on trauma not so long
yes,
ago where
yeah.
we talked about general trauma and how people deal with it and how people heal from it. And I think you make a great point that, you know, the prevalence of the discussion of PTSD as it's connected to veterans has opened the door to make it okay to talk about. You know,
I mean,
and
even,
as you said, PTSD comes from a variety of places.
Even children can talk about PTSD now.
Yeah.
I mean, in my generation, we didn't know what this was, you know, PTSD, but children can talk about it. It's
yeah.
I realized, you know, I had PTSD as that five-year-old, you know,
yes.
when I witnessed that little puppy being killed.
And whole generations have PTSD.
Absolutely.
I don't want to go into that. I mean,
yep.
our parents' generations that, yep. you know, were, you know, busy creating children and building a society, you know, mm-hmm. often didn't have the luxury and the ability mm-hmm. to speak from a feeling place. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it must.
So the other thing I think that's also interesting is indigenous tribes and people and societies did a much better job than we're doing today.
Of course.
You know, Native Americans would many times put them into teepees after the braves came off the war. The battlefield, yes. And they would hand feed them and gentle them back. There were Asclepian spas in Greece where they would take the warriors
right.
and attend to their emotional and physical pain. And before they were allowed to go back into the society. But now I'm hearing stories about people who are lifting bodies in off of the battlefield one day, and then they fly back and they're at their son's soccer game
right.
with a Kool-Aid right. container
yes.
the very next day. I mean, yeah. it's like, how does one make that shift
yes.
from one world into another without having an opportunity to process? So I think we're, as a society, we're missing a real important piece of what
needs
to happen.
And what you just described, it's almost an impossible transition to make.
You can't.
I mean, it's just from any human psychological perspective, it's very difficult
exactly.
to compartmentalize that away and just get right,
yes.
you know, hit the ground running back
yes.
to real life, normal
yes.
life.
Yes.
And all the current movies about war show, you know, the people on with their cell phones talking to their wives back in their hometown, and then
mm-hmm.
them coming back
mm-hmm.
and being, you know, in the grocery store the next day.
Yes.
And so they're almost expected to just fully assimilate.
Flip a switch.
Yeah. And so we're missing the person, we're missing the soul,
right. Which
the
is why I love this 9-station process, because they go back to the call when they went in, and they go through basic training and the loss of innocence and death-related losses and the resources that got them through, and then what their return experience was like.
Yeah.
And then moving into the forgiveness of themselves and others, and that's the only one that's private. Everything else gets shared. Of course, if somebody wants to share something, they certainly may.
Mm.
But reclaiming lost parts of themselves and having new insights and wisdom so that they're really able to tell a story, a healed story, a story about their experience both externally and internally, and what they learned about themselves, and then asking, who am I? I have a one veteran who was saying when he went into the Marines, was told to put on a war face.
Yeah.
And
without it, you die.
That's right.
You need that war face.
That's right. But when he came home, he realized after 30 years, nobody had ever told him to take that war face off.
Mm.
So there are a lot of veterans who got programmed, but they have not had the opportunity to deprogram.
My dad was a veteran, and you know, you say that, the war face, and I think he had his war face on all his life. He was a Marine, and mm-hmm. you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. But and, you know, now that you say that, I think that nobody taught him to take the mask off.
Yes.
And so he was admired, you know, for his strength and his stoicism, you know, his sort of silent beauty
mm-hmm.
in that. But I remember just looking at him and feeling for him. There is a mask of some kind on,
mm-hmm. yes.
and he's just not allowed to take it off. So your retreats invite veterans to take the mask off.
Right, to reconnect with the truth of who they are.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Reconnect with the truth of who they are.
That's what I want for all of us.
Yes, it is.
Well, because everybody wears masks of some sort.
Yeah.
And that's 100%.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. We're all carrying this facade.
That's right.
Yeah.
And those facades are there to protect us. So the veterans put on, you know, their masks to protect themselves, and they're not needed.
Yeah.
Because they block us from each other. They block us from ourselves.
So you see beauty at the end of these 6 days.
Oh my gosh.
You see beauty.
It's there's actually no place I'd rather be when those walls come down and the light is back in the eyes, and what they experience is unconditional love and acceptance, radical acceptance.
Mm.
And so the fear will block them from coming.
Yes.
But once they're there, nobody wants to leave.
They want to come back too, I'm sure.
Well, and some do. Some will come back.
Oh, they do. They're allowed to come back.
They can come back as mentors. They would go through a training and come back and go through the whole process again. Because it's like the onion, you know, the peeling of the onion. And there's more that wants to come up for its freedom.
Talk about spouses, because you were saying the statistic of divorces amongst this population.
It's 84%.
84%. How does this workshop benefit the spouses? I mean, you must have gotten letters.
Well, I mean, it benefits the spouses to have a greater understanding of the effects of PTSD.
Of course.
You know, that's a part of that's in the relationship.
Right, right.
I think the real benefit comes from the veteran doing his work.
Right. And seeing the beauty that you must see also when the mask comes off.
And the walls come down and the armor drops. And they have access to their heart, because that is what the spouse is longing for more than anything,
right,
for a heart connection.
Yeah.
Because they know it's there. They see the truth of the person. But they want to feel that connection.
And they have the loyalty, I mean, to their spouse who has gone through this, of course. And they have to revive that. Keep that loyalty every day. It's such a relief when the walls come down that the love naturally flows. I don't need my loyalty anymore. It's actually
it's
real feeling
the
for
real
my
deal.
Spouse.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Well, the whole culture needs this. The whole culture needs a PTSD diffuser and retreat to reconnect with the real diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And let go of the mask.
So in essence, we're kind of putting the warrior together with the monk, too.
What do you mean by that?
Well, connecting them with their spiritual side.
Sure.
You know, just being still. I mean, there is yoga during the retreats, and the mindfulness begins slowing us down and bringing us into the present moment. The arts also bring us into the present moment. And it's in the present moment that there's peace. Not the past, not the future, but right here, right now.
That's a repeated theme of ours, Ben.
It sure is. Yeah, living in the here and now, be here now.
Yeah.
Be in the present. And the onion metaphor that you just brought up, we talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Peeling the onion.
Yep.
Getting down to the core, getting down to the real stuff inside.
Exactly.
And so many of us have built so many layers of self-defense, of self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
It's on an instinctual level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never learn this. It's like we're born with this, this impulse, this need to cover up, to protect. Don't get hurt.
And what we all long for is love, to be loved, and to be able to love.
Yeah. And to show love.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, Anne, thank you so much for being here. This is a great introduction for people about PTSD in general, but also a suffering population of ours that really can shed a light on this for all of us. And show us a way towards healing.
And so if there are any veterans who are listening in, I really invite you to go to our website, which is warriorconnection.org. And there are ways to connect with me there or other people on our staff. And we really warmly invite you, if you are ready and willing to stop and be with yourself, there's a place for you. And ultimately, we want to take this into other communities.
Absolutely.
So we're ready.
Yep.
And we also have a group here of veterans here at the Positive Mind Center. So you can call us here at 212-757-4488.
And you can always send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. Here at the Positive Mind, we love getting your comments, questions, suggestions. You've been listening to Anne Black. She's our guest, Dr. Anne Black, today. Again, her website is warriorconnection.org. You can send Anne an email directly. It's Dr. Black, that's drblack@warriorconnection.org. Anne, thank you so much for being with us here today. And we're really pleased that you were able to make it down all the way from Vermont to be here with us in Midtown Manhattan. Tune in every Tuesday and Wednesday here at 1 for The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI.